Amen. As you know, for the last few weeks, we've been listening to the scripture through the prophets of Motown. This morning, we turn to the Temptations once again and one of their number one hits in 1969. Best. I can turn a gray sky blue. I can make it rain whenever I want to. I can build a castle from a single grain of sand. I can make a ship sail on dry land. But my life is incomplete because I can't get next to you. God knows what that feels like. God knows what that feels like. I create a universe. I can split the Red Sea. I can allow the slaves in Egypt to build bricks without straw. I can do anything I want. I can make it rain. I can so make it rain. If you don't believe me, go talk to Noah. I can do anything, but the one thing I want most in my world I can't have, because I can't get next to you. And that's the theme, really, in the passageway this morning from Samuel. In this morning's reading, during a period of transition brought on by the aging of Samuel and some other issues, the elders have decided that the sons of Samuel are corrupt, pretty much because they are. And Samuel recognizes it. So the elders request a king to govern so that they can be like the other nations. Other nations meaning those who worship multiple gods, those who do not worship one God, and specifically not the God that Israel has been asked to worship. Now, interestingly, Samuel reacts to the elders' request with great sadness, and I can understand that. He has led faithfully for many years and followed God's message, and he is sorely disappointed. And the sadness isn't because of his son's failures. The sadness is because he thinks the request is due to a lack of his ability, and that in some way he has failed God. Now, Samuel responds in a prayer, and he feels like a failure to God. And despite his best effort, he just feels like he hasn't met that need. And God says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't think this is the people's decision against you. They're forsaking me. They think they can find a better king than the one they have. So they're not walking away from you, they're walking away from me. And interestingly, he continues to say that, you know what, it's the people's decision, so because they have their own autonomy and they know right from wrong, we're going to go ahead and let them do that. If that's what they've asked for, that's what they will get. The Israelites are turning to a human leadership, trusting in a king rather than leaning on God, who rules with grace and not force. something the Israelites have been doing since, as God said, he brought them out of Egypt. God then says to Samuel, I want you to warn them. This is not part of the reading. This is what happens after the reading ends. I want you to warn the people what God, or what human kings will do. They will take. And God provides in those readings a very precise and dramatic description of what imperial power does. The power will take from the weak, the center from the margins, the king from the people. Empires and kings extract the produce of our land, sacrifice the lives of our children in warfare, take our livelihoods for their advantages. Is that really what you want? Is that the king you seek? A king that will enslave you and your children, not a God who liberated you from slavery in Egypt? And the Israelites' request still doesn't seem to change. And Samuel says, remember Sinai? Do you guys remember Sinai? Well, Moses was up on the mountain receiving what we call the Ten Commandments, or what they would refer to as the law. What was happening down in the valley? The people were all clamoring to Aaron because they wanted to be gods too. They wanted to be equal too. And so they were disgruntled, and remember what they said? They weren't even like literally 2 months out of slavery. And they wished they could go back because it was at least something they understood. Think about that for a minute. You've been in slavery for generations. Generations. And you have been freed and promised a land in a covenant with God in 2 months, 6 weeks into it. You're disgruntled and you want to go back to slavery because at least you knew what you were getting. How sad can that be? How troubled God must be when people think that way. And it is for that reason that God gives them permission, but not God's will or God's way, to have a king established. And they can go out and establish a king because we have autonomy. We know good from bad, and we can make those decisions. This is a story as old as time itself. We reject God whenever we're offered anything. And what does God offer us? Joy, peace, an abundant life. And what do? We turn away from that and we turn to gods that will satisfy our basest cravings. Reinforce that what we want is okay. In his book, For All God's Worth, theologian N.T. Wright says, left to myself, the God I want is a God who will give me what I want. He, or more likely it, will be a projection of my desires. At the grosser level, this will lead me to one of the most obvious pagan gods or goddesses who offer their followers money or sex or power. All idols start out life as the god somebody wanted. He concludes that the God we really want is a God who can be our puppet. Nobody falls on their face before the God they wanted. Nobody trembles at the word of a homemade God. Nobody gets out with fire in their belly to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, to teach the ignorant, or to feed the hungry because of the God they wanted. They're more likely to stay at home with their feet up. And all too often, I think we sound very much like that and very similar to that of the Israelites. We won't let God get next to us because God cramps our style. We value our free agency. We want freedom to pick and choose. And we would like to pick and choose which one of God's laws we'll follow when we choose to follow it. and which one. And we want to pick the kings we choose to follow. Money, position, power. Or maybe we decide to stay so busy with the little things in life that we just don't have time for God. I find that being my problem. I can be so busy with all of the little things in life that I can go weeks without just sitting and being quiet. I pray to God every day. I don't listen every day. I don't know how I expect an answer. I have to make myself available to God. And I may have to hear some things I don't like. And I may be getting an answer that I don't want. But nonetheless, if I'm following God, I have to be prepared for that. I can find more ways to keep me busy all day long and fall into bed exhausted with another laundry list of things to do. And on that list is never make time for God, sit and read some scripture, just open your heart and your mind in a peaceful environment. I don't have time for that. And that's unfortunate. So there's lots of ways we block God. And we love to do that. And we do this to a God who created us and blesses us with an abundance beyond understanding, who provides us with safety and love and caring comfort. But God can't get next to us. How then do we allow God to get next to us? This morning's second reading from Paul, from 2 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy that he stands in a tradition of unwavering discipleship. His mother and his grandmother were faithful to God, and so is Tim. And he needs to stand in that power of discipleship and that power of faith. And he urges him not to let his heritage down by falling prey to his fears. Paul reminds Timothy and us that through God's laying on of hands, we receive a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. God endows us with those powers. When we allow God into our hearts, we change. Our fears will fade away. Because fears are not a gift from God. Fears are what we create, not what God creates. We gain power, but it's power to encourage people to stand up to their enemies and to speak truth to those in power and to be willing to face those dangers of speaking that truth. It is to be strong during the challenges that we will have in life because we know our lives will have challenges. Because unless somebody has a different document than I've been reading, there's no promise of a challenge-free life. Just a life filled with love and abundance and a life in eternity if we'll just listen to God. And God gives us the power to endure the injustices that we experience. We have the power to endure and to overcome those injustices. But we allow our fears to block us from doing that. The good news is that even when we're not faithful, even when we have allowed ourselves to be pulled and turned to the gods of wealth or gods of status or gods of power or gods of whatever, God's promises are still there. God doesn't walk away from God's promises. So even though we continue to make bad choices, we blindly trust weak people, and we develop fears of oh so many things, God's promises are still true no matter what. And we have a tendency to forget that. The Israelites lost faith in God, and they experienced a harsh monarchy that often led them further away from God and not closer. God gave them what they wanted instead of what God wanted them to have. The same is true today. God is allowing us to have what we want, not what God wants for us. We need to remember the power to stand in our faith and to welcome God to get next to us. We need God to guide us in love, to show us how to look at our enemies and stand up to them, but with a spirit of love, not a spirit of hate. To gently guide us in forgiving ourselves when we fail, because we're our own worst enemies when we fail or miss the mark. We must learn how to forgive ourselves and to love ourselves again, because God never wavers in that love. Teach us how to do that, to fail and not be so torn up that we can't love ourselves. To live freely, to be accepted in love and without fear. Those are the powers that God wants us to have, and we should be asking God to guide us in it. If you remember the song, Day by Day, what did we ask to be closer to us, to show us, to guide us, day by day? What a perfect song for this reading. The Israelites could not hear God saying, I want to live in your heart, let me walk with you. You are that very precious to me. We hear God. We want God. And we want to follow God. And we desire God's kingdom. We wish to have an authentic faith that lives within us. A faith that is nourished by God being within us. Let's let God not just get next to us, but in us, growing a faith that will stand the test of time and become the inspiration for the faith of all other people. Amen.